Hello and welcome to the Devil's Trident podcast. I'm Simon and I'm here with Matt, or J-Lings, as he's signifying there. And we are not here with James this time. James is at work, not dead, or gone to West Ham. is skipping this one. So we have got Josh. Tell us where you're from, Josh. What's your name and where you're from?
Hello, I'm Joshua William. I'm from Rochdale, England. I'm 27 years old. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Yeah, I do the 975 podcast as well. So if you're into music, into the 975, come and check us out.
Do that. I've had a listen today, actually. It's good.
Oh, great.
Well, I've had a previous listen, actually, like a few months back.
Which episode was it you listened to today?
The most recent one.
Oh, it was a good one.
Oh, a good one.
Yeah. The best.
Very good one.
Greatest hits. No, was it? I can't remember which song.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I can't remember the other title of the other song. Never mind. Anyway, the latest one. Where Dan was talking about you being in Norwich and.
Tim Westwood being in Norwich.
Yeah, making money. Anyway, long-winded intro out of the way. We're here after United have drawn 0-0 with Arsenal. More points dropped for United this week after Wednesday night's very disappointing loss to Sheffield United. Obviously, City have won today, beating Sheffield United, doing it properly. And they've gone 4 points clear, but I think is it 2 points clear there? I've forgotten already.
Two points clear
now, with the game in hand, obviously. So things aren't quite as rosy as they looked in the last few weeks, but at least we didn't lose to Arsenal, because we've done that quite a few times over the last few years. So there's some plus points, and it could have gone either way today, but it does feel like a missed opportunity today, don't it, Matt?
Yeah. Aside from the game being ridiculously boring, and probably a very lacklustre performance from probably both teams. It's just a bit frustrating, the fact we find ourselves again in the same position where we have in the past few seasons, where with the nearly men, like we could have had we really should have finished the game off and won against Sheffield United, but didn't. And then today we had a good opportunity to get back on the horse and really like put all the like doubt to bed and put in a good performance and get a good 3 points. But again, we stumbled again at another hurdle, and it's just feels like another typical United setback, which is just really frustrating. And I don't know what the mindset the players are in today, because they really should be in the mindset like we need to bounce back, we need to get 3 points and get a good put in a good performance. But they didn't really seem to do that, and it really tells when the end of the game, when Gary Neville gives the man of the match to David Luiz because of his outstanding celebration for deflecting that free kick over the back, like, come on! Like, if that's the player who's winning the man of the match, then it's a sign of a bad game and a bad performance on both sides. So
yeah, both for the reason he gave it him, just for kind of the celebration, and the fact that David Luiz is getting it for a defensive display is also a bit of a worry, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But what do you make of the game, Josh? How are you feeling about the results in general?
Do you know what? I don't feel that bad about it, really. Because it is another clean sheet. It's another not losing away, like continuing the run we've got going on. I don't think they played that bad, to be honest. Cavani missed two like from inside the six-yard box, which he probably should have scored, but I don't think they were like open goals or anything that he missed.
No.
No, they played okay. I think they defended well. Maguire had another decent game. Wan-Bissaka had a decent game. It is a bit of a concern at the moment, I think, that if Fernandes and Rashford, who have played so well so far this season, if they're not on it, if they're not on form, then we are looking a bit, going forward, we're looking a bit like we did two seasons ago, like there's not much going on.
Yeah, it looks like they look like they've run out of ideas, especially Rashford. Mm. He got caught a few times, not knowing what he wanted to do himself, like that indecisiveness that he's probably had a bit of in the last few years. I think that came out a little bit today, like he was running down a few like blind alleys and just running into trouble. And I mean, I've got that as one of the first notes, really, because for the first 15 minutes, so I think we had decent possession, and I don't think Arsenal particularly troubled us. I haven't got any real chances noted down other than one that Lacazette lashed from quite a way out, which De Gea served comfortably. But it took about 15, 16 minutes for anything proper to happen. It was Rashford megging someone, I think it was Xhaka, which was a lovely piece of skill, and he ran into the box.
Yeah.
And kind of made a mess of it. Like, I think Cavani was going mad because he didn't get the ball, but there wasn't much of a really an avenue to pass properly. I don't think he could get it through the gap, and he ended up laying it onto Bruno. It just ended up just being just fizzling out and looking a bit of a mess in the end. But yeah, they weren't quite on it. Rashford, again, is just Solskjaer's always going to play him, I think. He's always going to try and squeeze him in the team, but sometimes recently his form's just not been that great, has it?
I wouldn't say it's a worrying thing, because obviously we know that players go through dips in forms. But when you're as important as you are to United as Rashford is, and like Josh said before, like if him and Fernandes aren't really clicking, there's not a whole lot going on. And even in games where we're not playing well, and it just takes a moment of brilliance for either him or Fernandes to kind of kickstart us, and they're not doing that, it's worrying that we're not going to get any sort of input from anywhere else. I mean, the fact that McTominay had to come off today meant that Pogba had to drop back, and we needed Pogba to step forward in this game, because, like we said, we weren't going to get much from Fernandes today. I don't know why. He just didn't seem to be in it, or just couldn't really find the space or find the chances to create. But we could have done with Pogba playing further up the field and actually putting more of a shift in and digging us out, like he has been doing quite well for us recently. Yeah. And I had all the faith that Pogba was going to be the main man today. But unfortunately, I think that just because Scott came off, that it didn't really fall that way, because it could have been a completely different game if Scott would have carried on playing. So it's a shame that Scott did come off. But back to Rashford, it's going to happen, isn't it? Something's going to click, and he'll be back in a couple of games time. And I'm not too worried, is what I'm saying.
No, I think it's the playing on the right, isn't it? It's the trying to play Pogba off the left or anybody else on the left and just shunting Rashford out wide just because you want to fit him in the team somehow. And it's clearly not his best position, but would you rather drop him or play him out of position? You'd probably rather play him out of position and just hope it works a little bit, but it didn't quite happen. And I suppose they're in a bit of a situation where plans changed quickly, didn't they? Because from the looks of it, Scott McTominay went off with the case of the shits. By all accounts, holding his stomach, and it looked like we were really struggling. I mean, he carried on for a good 10, 15 minutes after he first got a bit of treatment for the shits, or whatever that pill he got given was.
Yeah, that was weird, taking a tablet for the shits, like what?
And I can't believe it didn't work in 10 minutes.
I know.
It's like that. It would have been one of them dehydration tablets, wouldn't it? That that stops you from just pooping constantly. You normally come in sachets. I'm only saying this from past experience to reference. Yeah, I had a really bad do a couple of months ago where it was just not stopping. So I had to go to the pharmacy, get some sachets, couple of them down me, and it clogged it right up. But well, I'm assuming that these tablets weren't the same way. But I suppose it's not really going to stop the stomach aches, is it really? It's just going to stop you wanting to shit. But yeah, there's still bad things happening around the stomach. So, yeah. Fair play to Scott for carrying on.
It's not the sort of analysis you expect to have to do during a football game, that is it?
But
there we are. No, but yeah, so obviously the plans changed.
Shit happens.
Shit does happen, and it did happen today. And it changed the plans. It meant Pogba to drop deeper, which meant he should have been able to dictate play a bit better. And I don't think he had a particularly bad game. I thought he was strong on the ball. He created a chance for Bruno that we'll get to in a bit, and he was generally all right. I don't think he'd offered too much off the left in the early stages, so I think it kind of worked. It's just when coming on in his place on the left is Martial, who's also not in great form. So
I was going to say, I think McTominay was such a big loss. Not just because of him not being on the field, it's the kind of chain reaction of the changes that we made.
Yeah.
I don't think that Ollie really trusts Pogba in that too in midfield, especially in the big games. Like he played there, he started against Sheffield United, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he started against Fulham, but against Liverpool, against Villa, he started like in the left.
Yeah.
And though he's not a winger, he's gonna drift in field. Bruno's gonna drift out there. Rashford's gonna be drifting around. He can influence games from there, but I just think that his passing range is great, and he can slow it down when you need to slow it down. But I think him and Fred probably weren't controlling as much, especially against like Thomas Partey, who's the great midfielder,
yeah,
and even Granit Xhaka from somewhere has found some form. And he's playing really well. I think out of them two, you know, sitting in front of the back four, I think Partey and Xhaka probably got the better of Fred and Pogba, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're definitely right in what you're saying about not really trusting Pogba. Not that they don't trust him, but I think it's the games where we're going to have a lot of the ball. He's happy for Pogba to play there, I think. Whereas if we're going to get attacked, he's got to...
Yeah, that's it.
Be a bit more, do a bit more tracking back and be a bit more disciplined. He can do it, but against the more dangerous sides, I think it just eliminates the risk and just goes with Fred and McTominay just to keep them solid. But also playing him on the left, I think it allows him to, off the left up front, I mean, it allows him to drop back into a bit of a midfield three when we're defending, which gives us a bit more like solidity. But yeah, he still doesn't have quite the same impact attacking-wise from out there, I don't think. Go on.
I think that's the thing is when you said about the three, because you hear all the time about people saying about the three in Juventus, which is, you know, obviously he had like Pirlo behind him as well, so he can have loads of space in a three midfield. But even for France, he played there with Kante, who was like, in the two for France, but Kante was sitting, and it was Matuidi that was playing left midfield. Now Matuidi can easily drop in at defensive midfield as well, so...
Yeah.
I just don't feel like, and I feel like Ollie thinks this, in those big games that as good as he is, and I think he should be in the team, I think he should find a place for him. Yeah. I don't think he should be in front of the back four.
Yeah, that's the thing, and it's you want to play Bruno Fernandes as a number 10. You want to fit Marcus Rashford in somehow, and his best position is arguably off the left. But then you want the solidarity of Fred and McTominay, so you have to put Pogba somewhere further up or not play him. And again, it's the same with Rashford and Pogba, basically. It's either play him out of position or, you know, risk being too wide open. So, yeah, it is a bit of a conundrum, really. And it's one that he's not quite solved. It seems to have a plan for the big games and for what games that we got possession anyway, and games where we're going to be doing a bit more defending, like Liverpool game, etc. Sometimes it's working, sometimes it's not, but... Yeah, Arsenal didn't really create too much in the first half. I think they kind of played us at our own game at one point that Pepe had a counter-attack that Luke Shaw kind of showed Pepe like onto his left foot, which is obviously his more dangerous foot, but he ended up curling it wide because he just closed the angle down. But other than that, I've not got much for Arsenal. I don't know whether I'm just being biased with my note-taking on this one, but I think we had the best chances. There was a point where Martinelli just got in front of Rashford after Pogba put a ball into the box, and it looked like for all the world like Rashford was just going to smash it home, but Martinelli just gets there in last ditch. That was a decent chance. Wan-Bissaka had a header, which just not who you want the ball to fall to in the box. But I think the biggest chance, like I mentioned before, came from Bruno Fernandes, where Pogba puts him through and he checks back onto his right foot and bends it round the far post. That's a decent opportunity for Bruno Fernandes, wouldn't you say, Matt?
I would. And to be fair, on 9 out of 10, you'd expect him to be putting that away. But like we said before, it's not been his day. I don't have much to say about that.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
It was a sign of the fact we were doing all the right things, but not really.
It's just that not last really bit, weren't it?
Not really taking the chance and actually putting it away, because throughout the game, you thought that we were going to be the one that were going to get the first goal or the only goal. They had odd chances, but we seemed like we were the ones who were going to do something with the game, and our chances, like we said, were the better ones, and we just couldn't really seem to convert them into goals, which is just frustrating when you've got the likes of Fernandes who like we said before, just provides us with so many winning opportunities. And just today, just didn't really seem to do much.
Yeah. Overall, first half, I'd say that we were generally the better side. I think things switched in the second half a little bit. But we'll get to the second half after this quick break. Hello, it's Simon again. I'm just here to quickly tell you listeners where to find us on social media. We're The Devil's Trident on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at Devil's Trident. You can also keep up to date with us at thedevilstrident.com. Okay, on with the show. Right, welcome back, and let's get into the second half. I think it was the second half, really, that Arsenal had the better of in the early stages. I think we were under the cosh for a lot of it, and we were kind of resorting to playing on the count, whereas in the first half, I think we had probably had more of the possession and more control over the game. They made a change. I think it was at half-time, or was it just after? Willian came on. Yeah, he had a decent chance early into the first half, the second half, sorry. But Wan-Bissaka recovers, and other than that, I mean, they put us under pressure, but I don't think they still forged too many chances. It genuinely took them about 20 minutes to have a decent chance at second half, despite the fact that it seemed they were on top, which is just a bit of an odd scenario. But I think one of the best chances of the game came to us in the second half. Shaw's cross for Cavani that just whistled past the post. I think the keeper got a touch to it and actually made it go close to the goal. But I think that's one they're expecting Cavani to put away, and we're just not having much luck with our strikers putting stuff away at the moment.
Yes.
Do you remember that chance?
I do remember that chance. Yeah, I do remember. I remember Luke Shaw just being mint and just putting in loads of good balls, but just not being able to do anything with them. That one was very close, as far as I remember. Was it like inches wide of the post? But
yeah,
I'm pretty sure I remember the Arsenal defence were like swarming him, so he could not really...
No, it couldn't.
There was no way for him to do anything but try and just get a touch to it and try and knock it in the bottom corner, or try and take a little deft touch to it.
Yeah.
But, they did well to really cancel Cavani out of the game, because again, he didn't really have much to say. But I think that's just because he wasn't being given the chances, and two, like when he did get chances, it seemed like the Arsenal defence were just doing everything they can to make sure he was not going to get a clean hit on the ball.
Yeah,
and they did really well with it. To be fair, they just cancelled him out of the game, and it's a massive shame, because I'm not going to say he didn't time his run right, but if
came in pretty, come for, came in yeah, pretty quick at him.
Yeah, it did. I'm just trying to think of a way that if he maybe we just like held off a second and tried to nick in, he might have been able to do something with it. But no, I can't really. Like, Arthur did a good job at keeping him out. So
yeah.
A shame he didn't put that one away.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Cavani today? And in general, I suppose, Josh, since you've not heard your thoughts on him yet.
I think he's such a good addition, just in terms of the fact that, I mean, at the start of the season, we would have assumed that Martial would have been the starting number nine. And as a sort of like another option off the bench, which I think that was the idea with Cavani, especially with him being 34 now.
Yeah.
But he's kind of been, even when he's not scoring, as having a player that like a striker like him is something that we have lacked for a long time, I feel like. The space he makes, his runs off the ball, the two chances that he did miss, it's hard to remember a time where, or it's hard to remember scenarios where other United players would be even getting those chances.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, the ball that Shaw whips in for him then, you don't really see the likes of Martial and Rashford get on the end of those.
Yeah.
He should have scored, really. But I do feel like it's positive that we're even attempting those passages of play that we haven't done recently.
Yeah.
But you were right about I think as well, just going back to Arsenal's chances, even though they did kind of dominate the first half, I think we defended our box really well. Mm-hmm. There was the David Luiz shot from distance, which like was miles over the bar. Wan-Bissaka blocked Willian's shot, and then there was a Pepe one actually that Maguire blocked. So
yeah, oh yeah,
not really working De Gea, which is I think a good sign, is that you know the defense as a whole, I think, is getting a bit tighter.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is right though. Really, is that we were just defending well, but they were having a lot of the ball. We were under pressure, but we were handling it well, which is probably why we've got not much notes to say of actual clear-cut chances that Arsenal created. So that is positive. I mean, another clean sheet against a decent side, not the best Arsenal side we've ever seen in years, but we're just having problems against these big sides of scoring goals in the big games at the moment. But
yeah,
the Cavani chance, I think it was a decent chance, and you could argue that he should have finished it, but he did come it in quickly, and I mean, he's going to struggle to shape his body to get it in. Mm. At that angle, especially with, I think it was Cedric coming storming behind him anyway. So, but I think it was arguably one of the two or three best chances of the game, and it's probably the player that you want to fall to. And if he's not going to finish it, like you say, we've been saying since he joined, really, on the podcast, that a lot of our other strikers don't get in those positions, like the Southampton goals that he scored in the 3-2 win. Like, who would have even got them headers? Would Martial have even put his head there for a diving header like he got? So we can't be too critical of him. I think he has been generally positive, like you say. So, but yeah, moving on, their period of, like you could say, dominance, I suppose, in the first 20 minutes of the second half, they did start getting some more chances after the Luiz shot that kind of got skied over. They hit the bar with Lacazette's free kick, and I don't think you can call that one of the best chances, but it was one of the closest anybody came to scoring, certainly. Mm. And you don't want them to score it, but I think it definitely would have made it interesting if it went in, because I think United would have had to come out a little bit more. I think in a way they were kind of happy for a draw today. I think it was a case of don't lose rather than go all out attack and, you know, risk losing, because if, yeah, maybe a point in the league table at this stage doesn't add too much, but it's a psychological thing of losing two games in a week and whether that can spiral out of control. So, yeah, off to go off on a tangent. the Smith Rowe also forced a save from David De Gea, and that kind of ended like the nervy period, and we came back into it around the 70th minute and started getting a bit of possession. We were creating chances in and around their goal, much like they were doing with the periods of possession, really. We're not necessarily creating clear chances all the time with it. Just we're kind of hopeful balls into the box that just weren't quite hitting the target. I think it was on the break that we looked the most dangerous. Marcus Rashford had a decent counter-attack down the right. He kind of squared it into Cavani, and both Cavani and Martial kind of fluffed the lines, like queuing up one after another to try and step up. I don't know if anybody remembers that passage of play. It felt like one of the bigger chances in the second half.
Yeah, it was like a half bicycle kick. He was trying Cavani. Was it? Or was it Scorpion?
No, that was later on. That was last minute.
Was it later on?
No,
it was that's not what I'm thinking of.
No.
But what kind of like an air shot, didn't he?
Yeah, like on the edge of the box. Yeah. I think that feels like just a decent chance for this United side, though. That's exactly the opportunity that we're looking for in games, I think. Just giving Rashford the run of the opposition half and squaring it into Cavani or Martial to finish, and it didn't quite come off. But what are the overall thoughts of the second half, really, guys?
Yeah, we were probably better. I think you said right at the start with Rashford, but I think it was a lot today that it was the decision making, I think, up front as well, which cost us. The Martial chance you just mentioned, where kind of Cavani just like missed the ball, that was good. I mean, we could have made better of that. But there was another one where Rashford, I think it was Wan-Bissaka that put Rashford through, and he cut into the box, and being on that right hand side, he just like hammered it for these laces at the goal, and I think he hit the side netting.
Yeah.
It was in that, like, compare that to in the first half where he ran into the box and passed it to Bruno Fernandes. It should have been the other way around. He should have shot on that one.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, there was, I think it might have been Fred and Cavani that were over again.
Yeah.
That's the time that he should have passed. Yeah, I think it was that decision making. But like I say, I think to be honest, there is more positives than negatives from the game. Like 2 years ago, if we do that performance at the Emirates, we're probably thinking like, okay, we've played pretty decently. But I think the good thing now is we're kind of thinking like, well, how many points does that take us behind City?
Yeah.
Which I think is like, I'm sure you've mentioned this on the podcast so far, but I think the overall kind of level that we've raised our game and what we expect.
Yeah.
I think today's kind of performance exemplified it.
Yeah. I think being disappointed not to take 3 points away from big games now is a bit of a shift. Whereas, you know, generally speaking, you're trying to win your big games at home and draw away, really. Mm. I mean, if you can win it, absolutely fantastic. But, you know, try and go to your big rivals and not lose. I think that's the main thing. One other last chance that was probably one of the best chances again for Cavani, though, like the one that you mentioned, Matt, the volley that came in from the cross. That was, I thought we'd won it at that point. That looked for all the world that it was in. And I think the narrative would be different if that goes in. I think maybe the critique of the performance might be the same from certain pundits in that we maybe lacked that clinical edge. But if you nick it 1-0 at the end with a Cavani goal, Cavani's a hero. And, you know, it's a masterclass. We've handled the game. We've managed tricky periods and snatched a good away win. But, you know, it's these fine margins that it's a couple of inches past the post and it's not to be. But those are the fine margins that are going to determine whether you catch City or, you know, stay on par with City or you don't, I think. After that, the game kind of fizzled out. I think the Lacazette and Maguire had a bit of a clash, didn't they, where Maguire kind of ducked and Lacazette fell over him.
Maguire milked that for all it was worth.
Yeah.
I had no idea what Maguire was on the floor, like, claiming that was any sort of, like, he was injured at any point. Like, that was just, like I said, just like essentially did the car slide over the bonnet over the top of Maguire's back, and Maguire's like, oh my god, he's killed me. Like, no, like, it I would have been surprised if Maguire wouldn't have got booked for that, because it's the whole Kane like ducking into the back of people, like Connie's mentioned on the podcast before, where like if that's in the box and it's a goal scoring opportunity, people should be getting carded for that, sent off, and penalties given for that. So I don't understand how Maguire got away with that, but he'd managed to. Let's pray that his back's okay.
Holding it just to really solidify the fact that he'd hurt himself, definitely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Like arcing his back as well on the floor. Like, oh god, this is going to help my not hurting back.
I'll just run it off. But yeah, yeah. It kind of fizzled out. I don't think nothing really happened in injury time that made you think anybody was going to win it. And like I say, I think both teams kind of settled for it in the end, just in the hope that neither team lost it, really, because no team can afford to lose for different reasons, really. Obviously, Arsenal are ninth or eighth or something. They don't want to lose any more ground, especially, so every point counts. But yeah, like I said, I think the result seems worse today because we lost during the week, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if we pick up 3 points... Oh, I thought you were going
to... Oof, sorry.
I thought you were going to splutter everywhere. Then. No, I think the result seems worse because of Wednesday, like I say. If we pick up 3 points during the week and then you go and get a draw away at Arsenal, that's not that bad, is it? But
no,
the situation's kind of heightened by not taking any points away from the game on Wednesday, and that just shows how quick it is that this league can get away from you, especially with the form that City are in. Like, all it takes is two or three middling results, and you're suddenly back in competing just to get in top four rather than being title contenders like we were being talked about last week. So you just have to hope that we turn it around next game, I suppose. But overall, moving on from the game, because I don't think we can rinse that one anymore. Overall, Josh, what do you make of our chances in the title race? Would you realistically say we are in one?
I think honestly, no. As much as I want to say yes.
Yeah.
I think once we're playing a good team and the onus is on us to attack. Like, I think in the first half, Arsenal were a bit deeper than us, I feel like. And if we're not the ones that are going through on the counter in those big games, we can look like we're a step behind some of the big teams. Like, even now, like when City are playing teams that are sitting deep, even the best ones, they're still going to find a way.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think we always look like... Yeah, there are games where it looks like we're not going to find a way. I think we've played well this season. I think we're only like one win behind City. They've won 13, we've won 12. And to say how good they are, I think that's positive that we're only, you know, one game less that we've won. I think our defence has gotten a lot of stick, really. But I think we're in a good position. Yeah. I think our right wing needs addressing. Well, I'd say in January, but summer it looks like. Whether that's Sancho or Grealish, if he can play right wing. So I think with the lack of balance, I think, in our team, probably not title contenders this year, but if we can get a right winger and we can keep, you know, the core of our team playing well throughout the entire season, I don't see why not next season.
Yeah, I'd agree. We would like to believe we're in a title race. And to be honest, in a couple of weeks, we could be coming back and saying, well, we're definitely in a title race, because just as much as it can change quickly for us with a couple of bad results, it can change for other teams just as quickly. I mean, I think we'll briefly touch on the Southampton game shortly, but if we can win in midweek, and we'll assume that City go to Burnley and win, and Liverpool beat Brighton, and that's the status quo at that point. But then at the weekend, we've got Everton at home, and City and Liverpool play each other. So. Yeah. And then it becomes a situation where, you know, teams are definitely losing points. I think it's at Liverpool, that game. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think they've played at the Etihad this season.
Yeah, so
we'll be Anfield.
Yeah, so there's no one goes to Anfield and wins unless you call Burnley. So,
which we have to give Burnley credit as well, because I mean, they are going to play City. Who's to say that Burnley can't hold City to a draw at least, because
that one's at Burnley.
Burnley, what I'm saying is Burnley are very good at grinding out defensive games, and they could keep City at bay. Mm. I mean, City don't have any, well, Jesus is back now, isn't he? But they don't have that much attacking players going for them at the moment. They're not as deadly as they probably have been in the past. So this would be the ideal time to play City, and maybe Burnley could do as another solid and hold them to a draw at least, maybe.
I won't hold too much hope for it, though, because I think the last three or four games that City and Burnley have played, it's been like five. It genuinely has been 5-0 to City every time.
Yeah, but they've had De Bruyne and they don't have him. So
yeah, I think after Liverpool, or if not directly after, shortly after, I think City have got Spurs as well, or another big team. So, you know, there's chances for City to drop points. And the game in hand is against Everton away. I mean, Everton didn't do too great today, losing at home to Newcastle, but that's just kind of shows what the league is this year, I suppose. Mm. I don't think we should get too disheartened by just this week in general. But we do have to pick up form quickly and get points on the board whilst City are going to be playing the bigger teams, and hopefully, you know, we can claw something back, and we'll kind of see what happens in the long term. We probably are short, like you say, but every team has got something wrong this season. Like, Liverpool have got no centre-backs.
Yeah.
City have got no De Bruyne for a bit, and they're struggling for Aguero, and being fit or out of quarantine. He's always in isolation, Aguero. I don't know what he's doing.
I think they struggled at the start, I think, without David Silva, especially.
Yeah, they had to adapt, didn't they?
I think, Gundogan stepped up recently, hasn't he? He's been playing well, annoyingly.
Yeah. He's been getting loads of goals. Like, why is he suddenly getting fucking hundreds of goals?
Yeah, without praising him too much, that one against that one against West Brom that Gundogan got was a beauty.
But I feel like he scores the same goal every time he scores one, though.
Well, if it can be that goal,
it's very Yaya Toure-esque, where he just like goes, just soars into the top corner.
Yeah, it was a decent. They are looking decent, so we'll just have to see. I mean, Southampton isn't going to be an easy game. They've just lost to Aston Villa at home, though. So again,
oh, have they?
Yeah. So,
oh, what score is it? Because I don't know. I've not seen the score.
1-0 to Villa. So,
who scored for Villa?
Barkley.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Not Jack Grealish then, no.
I think he got an assist though, if you're being a fantasy football nerd.
Yep.
So much.
I was hoping for.
Yeah. Right. I think that's the title race situation covered. I think one thing we wanted to mention was Jesse Lingard leaving on loan for 6 months to West Ham. I mean, he clearly needed a move. He clearly wasn't going to get back into this United side anytime soon with the players he's got for competition. I mean, he has performed well for United, but not for a couple of years. He's had his problems off the field. Openly admitted to suffering quite badly with mental health issues, with stuff going on in his with his family. I think his mum was ill and he's had to look after his younger siblings at his house while his mum was getting better. Plus, he's just had he's got a 2-year-old himself, and he's not with his partner that they had the kid together. So he's had a lot going on. I mean, I'm sure a lot of other footballers have stuff going on as well, but maybe not to the same degree. But I think it's clearly had an effect on him. And you're just hoping that he gets a good run of games and gets some form back, whether he actually stays after a loan spell. Maybe if he does well enough, maybe West Ham keep him, but What are you thinking about his move to West Ham, Matt? Do you think it's a good one for him? Are you sad to see him go? Happy for him? What's your vibe with that?
I'm happy for him because at the end of the day, I think he deserves some first time football and first team football, not first time.
He's a young prospect.
Yeah, he deserves first team football. That's what I'm saying. I'd rather he go abroad. Because I'd rather he wouldn't be playing in the Premier League. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather go abroad. It would have been great to see him go to Inter Milan, if I'm being totally honest. But
Manchester United too.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather go there because they're my Italian team and I'd like him to go there and help them out. But West Ham's a good move for him though, and West Ham are doing really well at the moment. And so he's worked under Moyes as well, so there's a good opportunity for him to do really well there. And although if he did leave on a full-term basis and went West Ham, I think it would probably be... I was talking to James about this today, actually, where we realised that West Ham would probably be the best team for him to go to. If you think about the teams in the Premier League, you don't really want him to go to any of the big top six because you don't want him to go to any of the biggest rivals. But then West Ham, they're a good team with a good manager with high aspirations. And I think David Moyes is genuinely building something there, and he could be the kind of player that goes there and really like pushes them forward. If he gets a good run of games together, gets his fitness back up, gets in the team on a regular basis, there's no reason why he can't be again one of the bigger players for that team. Mm-hmm. And it'd be good for him, and it'd be good for England as well. Like if we catch your mind back to how well we did in the World Cup, where he'd be playing, like, yeah. Let's get him back in the England fold.
One step at a time, man. Come on.
But I'm just saying it's good to have another person who, like, it's shit the players like him and Dele Alli aren't even considered as good players anymore. No, when they really are good players, but they need that run of form. They need to prove themselves. But Lingard never going to make it into our starting 11, really. Even if it's like an FA Cup game, chances are he's probably not going to start. I mean, maybe Europa League, but that's like how many games is he going to play in the Europa League? Like
not enough for a
4 or 5 now. Yeah. So it's not enough for him in a season. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a really good move. And if he was to leave, I wouldn't be too bothered. I'd be more happy for him. And it'd be a shame to see him go just as a nostalgia thing, because we'll always have that FA Cup goal.
Yes.
That FA Cup final goal. I was in Turkey watching that, and I was on my own, surrounded by a lot of Turkish people. No one had a fucking clue what was going on, but I did, and I fucking loved it. And all you lot were at home watching it, and I was in Turkey. But it was a great time for me.
I wasn't quite at home watching it.
I was
at Wembley.
All right. Are you there? Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I
sick.
I went to the FA Cup final, yeah. There's a group of German guys next to me, and then when he scored, they more or less picked me up in celebration.
Nice.
That's a good Lingard memory then. Yeah, what's your thoughts on Lingard's move? Were you a fan of him generally anyway? Or I mean, he's got a lot of detractors.
Do you know what? I am a fan of him, and as I am sad to see him go, but I'm also delighted that he's got a move to a team doing so well as well. I think West Ham are like knocking around the top four, aren't they?
Yeah, fifth, I think.
Fifth, yeah. Yeah, I hope he smashes it, to be honest. I think it's a shame that it depends what he wants as well. Like, if he wants first team football, then it's a good move. But I think if he could have found a bit of form, he could definitely have been a squad player for us. If he was happy with that, like you say, those early FA Cup games, Europa League at the moment, obviously maybe not Champions League if we get that. I think he's a great player. I watched him years ago in like the under 21s, and his family were sat behind me and they were like cheering him on. I used to work at a bar, and he knew one of the guys who worked there, so he's come into the bar a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, nice. For me, especially with him being local as well to Manchester.
Yeah, he is a sound enough lad. I know a lot of people. Yeah. He rubs people up the wrong way, but he just genuinely, was loving being a United player and was living his dream. Weren't he? So I think it is sad that it's not quite worked out for him. But he has had a decent run for us, and maybe it isn't over. I think, like Matt said, I think Moyes is a good manager for him to go to. Not that we're huge fans of David Moyes on this podcast, but you know.
Oh, we love David Moyes.
But do we really? Not as a United manager.
I, for the banter-wise, he's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, that's not really what you want, though, is it? But
oh, no, yeah. He was terrible for us, but any other time when he's not with us, we love David Moyes.
Yeah, I think he's a good manager for him. I think he likes players that work hard, and
yeah.
If Jesse Lingard is anything, he's industrious, and maybe he'll fit right in at West Ham. We'll soon see, but he's got Liverpool tomorrow. So maybe if he slides straight into their team and does us a favour against Liverpool, then Jesse, you are definitely a hero, whether you're playing for us or not. Happy to see him get a move. I didn't want him sat on the bench. And I mean, these squads at the moment are 20-man squads, 9 on the bench, and he weren't even getting in them. And that's a pretty clear sign that you're not going to get much game time. And Ollie obviously has his favourites to bring off the bench. I mean, Donny van de Beek doesn't get a sniff off the bench, never mind Jesse Lingard. So definitely. No,
I feel like there is space for him, though, because if you do look at our bench, one of those places is taken up by Daniel James or Mata. Mm. And he's younger than Mata, and you know, he's far better than Daniel James.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is a position for him in the squad. But like I say, if he's not content with that, just being a squad player, then I think it's a great move.
Yeah. Maybe the plan is next year. Who knows if Juan Mata's going to be there? Who knows if Dan James is going to be there? Maybe he does come back into the squad more prominently as a squad player, and after recovering his form a little bit. We'll see. Interesting one to watch anyway, and good luck to him tomorrow, obviously. Quickly ahead to the Southampton game then. We say it's a tough fixture, but they've kind of fallen away again a little bit. I think the table's kind of evening out a little bit now, isn't it? In the sense that maybe like Everton have dropped a few points and aren't quite as close to the top anymore, and Southampton have lost a few games now, and even Villa, who beat them tonight, were showing signs of doing all right, but then you know, you lose a couple of games and you're not quite as close to the top. So as much as Southampton have been decent this season, I think it's a game we should win, Matt.
Yeah, Southampton's always a bit of a weird one. It's, it feels like a bit of a booby game booby. Against us. A booby, like a booby trap game.
A bogey team.
Where, yeah, well, yeah, bogey, but a booby trap. Like, they just seem to just lure us in with boobies and we get distracted.
Sounds like someone else, I know.
So, yeah, I think it's one of those games that, on paper, like, we should be winning. And we should be winning quite easily, but it just seems like when we come against them, we just seem to come unstuck. And there's been so many times in the past where we've not really got the job done where we really should have done, and that kind of worries me. Especially the fact that we've come off a loss and a draw, and probably the like motivation isn't high as it should be, and we're not being as clinical as we have been in the past. I'm a tad worried, if I'm being honest. There's no reason why we can't go and win comfortably, but I'm not optimistic. I'm normally quite optimistic when we like on the podcast. I'm normally quite optimistic about what we're going to do, but something today tells me I'm not as optimistic as I probably have been.
Your confidence has been shaken.
Yes, mainly because we have this. We have this in our locker where we're going to go through a bit of a rough patch, and they're going to go through the whole Solskjaer's going to lose his job vibe, and we're not going to win all our games. Might not lose, but we might not win our games. We might not be in the top three by this time next month. But I think we're going to go through a bit of a rough patch now. I think this is the start of the rough patch for a few weeks, and I think that'll be it though. I think rough patch here. Maybe end of February, we're not going to get that many points. But then after that, I think we're going to blitz it and win the league. No, we're not going to win the league. But I think we're do a rough patch, and because that's what we do at the moment. And I think we're in the middle of it currently.
We have got a lot of difficult games coming up. Or tricky games. Maybe not like the hardest games you could imagine. But against your Southamptons, your Evertons. I mean, Sociedad. In the Europa League isn't an easy one. West Ham in the FA Cup isn't easy with how well they're doing. So it's those kind of games. It's not games that you should win, but there's a chance that you might not. Yeah. What's your thoughts on the Southampton game, Josh? You're optimistic for it? Or do you think we'll get over the little blip?
Somewhat optimistic. Although they are a tricky side to play. And I feel like that they do well at Old Trafford as well.
I think everybody does well at Trafford now, though.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Apart from us.
Yeah, I put that in my preview today on the website that it was our toughest place to play, our bogey ground. We've got two games.
Booby ground.
Two games at our booby ground, yeah. Which, funnily enough, is our own stadium, which is weird. But yeah, go on, Josh, anyway.
I think they've fallen away a bit now, but I think they've got a really solid team. The two central defenders are really good. Ings up front is still smashing them in, and then I think they're solid. And I think the problem is we should beat them. We've got, you know, overall our team is much better, but if they get an early goal like against Liverpool, and then it's us trying to break down that low block again, then we could be in for a long night. So. Yeah, cautiously optimistic, I think.
Yeah, that is the worry as soon as we've done well coming back from behind recently, but the struggles that we had against Sheffield United in breaking what was essentially 11-man defence at certain points.
Yeah.
It felt like we kind of got over that bump of not being able to break them teams down, but it has kind of reared its head again a little bit recently.
Yeah, it could be like it was the West Brom game, wasn't it? That was just a penalty that we scored. That was another one. Like we should be smashing West Brom, but as soon as the team sit back, and I mean, there's no, you know, Southampton. If they do that, that's great. That wins them games. I'm not complaining about that, but that could well happen, and we could easily not score again. So
yeah, they have been a bit of a tough side anyway. All the games have been close last few years. I mean.
Yeah,
we won 1-3-2 against them at home in Ollie's first season, I think. Last minute Lukaku goals or Pereira. I don't know if it's Pereira's last minute winner or Lukaku's.
Yeah, Pereira smashed one in, didn't he?
Yeah, that was decent. Obviously, we came back from behind at those earlier in the season, but we had the 2-2 draw during the project restart kind of era that where they really troubled us, and we came back from behind to go 2-1, but then conceded in the last minute and threw it all away. And they've just been a bit of a thorn in our side recently. Yeah. So, yeah, cautiously optimistic. I think it is one we should win, but we've been there before in games that we should win. It's just, but I think we do need to win it if we have any sort of hope of keeping up with City. Because if City do go and win the games we talked about, like against Liverpool or against Spurs later down the line, and win the game in hand against Everton, you know, they can quickly go out of sight. And it's just, even if you could catch them, it's the demoralisation of them being miles ahead that it just seems like an unreachable goal sometimes with City, with the just how relentless they are. So, yeah. Any score predictions for that one, Matt? You don't have to give me all your goal scorers and everything.
I'm going to go with 1-1. I'm going to go with Ward-Prowse free kick and
very specific
a Martial goal.
All right,
for us.
There it is. Josh, you got
a vintage Martial goal.
Bit curler.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'd enjoy that if he needs one. So
yeah.
And Josh, any prediction?
I'll go 2-1 to us.
I think that feels like a really safe like prediction at the moment, doesn't it? Yeah. Like us to win by not much is kind of the that's my go-to prediction on the website anyway. I'm not going to predict
even more safe and do a Fernandes to score then in that case.
Yeah. Fernandes penalty, that'll do.
Yeah.
I think similar. I always seem to copy James's prediction, but I do think 2-1. Well, that's probably what I would go with myself. So
can't get your own predictions, Simon. Jesus, come on.
Well, I did against fucking Sheffield United. I predicted 4-1 to us, and look how that turned out. So I've been
did I not say 4-0?
I said 4-1. I don't know I can't remember what you said.
I thought we were going to get loads of goals. I'm pretty sure I predicted 4-0 FC.
Well, we were pretty buzzing, weren't we?
Yeah.
We beating Liverpool, we were like, yeah, we're going to fucking smash these.
Yeah, we were very, very optimistic. And where did that get us, eh?
Nowhere. 5 drop points is where it goes. Right, yes. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Matt, do you want to plug your podcast? I'm going to allow you to, since we've got a guest that has something to plug.
Sweet. well, you can find me on hosting the MCU podcast, which is just the MCU podcast wherever you get your podcast providers. Or you can also find me on another podcast called What's My Age Game, which tackles turning 30 and the trials and tribulations that come with it. You can find that What's My Age Again podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. And Josh, where can we find your 1975 podcast?
So it's called Pause It, Play It, the 1975 podcast. We're on all podcast providers. Just search Pause It, Play It. All social media is the 1975 pod. And if you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Josh William without the vowels.
Without the vowels. The cool way.
Yeah, the cool way.
Absolutely. Right. Well, you can find The Devil's Trident at The Devil's Trident, funnily enough. You probably know that already if you're listening, though. So, we'll leave it there for the day. It's been good to have you on, Josh. Thanks for joining us and filling in. We'll certainly have you on again when James is unavailable, etc. So, yeah, until next time, I have been Simon. He has been Matt. Say goodbye,
I've been Matt.
Goodbye. And he has been Josh.
Thanks for having us, guys.
And we have been The Devil's Trident podcast. See you next time. Cheers.
Ciao.